This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Contrary to popular belief, Heather, it is festive.
I am. I love Christmas. It's my favorite. Christmas Eve is my favorite day of the entire year.
We did this topic because it is such a great time of year, but there's maybe one or two things that bother you. And we just happened to hit them all in a row for Heather.
You found all of them.
Really got her going. We've got Thursday Touchdown coming up at 8:35. We do want to touch on the Wings, the win last night. There's a stretch in front of them, now or never. We'll get to that. Some more ticket text on the things you don't like. We brought up Elf on a Shelf, the creepy Elf on a Shelf. And people have echoed that, by the way, that they also think Elf on a Shelf is creepy. This is, we just don't do it. My sister-in-law got the kids one, and then we hit it, threw it away. They forgot about it. Never again.
Mm-hmm.
Stoney, people are pointing out that Elf on a Shelf is the option for Christmas. Have you heard of Mensch on a Bench?
I have heard of it, yes, but I've never seen it.
Multiple people saying that that is out there. That's from Jesse in Detroit and Mike on the ticket texts. Elf on a Shelf is not so bad. It says no need to get too creative. Just move it around the house. Takes 1 minute. Daughter loves finding it each day. Maybe Emily will love finding the elf on a shelf.
I'm sure she would.
Well, if it doesn't take much effort, who cares?
I don't like it, Stoney. I don't like it.
I didn't like it either, and then we did it. Because it lets the kids be creative. It's fun to
sometimes
be silly with it. Like, we'd put it on the kitchen counter and it'd have hot cocoa in front of it.
Yes.
Look what the elf did at night.
I've seen it pooping marshmallows. Like, I've seen it all.
I don't like it. But I would sit there after they'd gone to bed and we'd hit it for the next day. It's sitting there staring at me and I look at it and I go, oh God, I hate that thing.
You're going to say, who's got time to
Who's got time for that? Yeah. Like, I've got so much going on. I don't need to worry about an elf.
How long does it take?
I'm telling you, Stoney, these people, my friends on social media, the things that they do,
you pick up the elf, you go to a different room and put it somewhere else.
I'm going to show you these things.
But are they they're staging it too,
yes.
Right? Like, it's got to be doing things.
But you don't have to do that.
Well, what if she goes to school and little Jenny says, well, guess what my elf was doing? Oh, yeah, my elf was just sitting on a shelf.
Yes, like it's supposed to be. That's why it's called Elf on a Shelf.
She can have one. She can name it. That's great. She can snuggle it and sleep with it.
It's not holiday related. Where do you stand on Flat Stanley?
Flat Stanley? I don't even know the story of Flat Stanley.
Flat Stanley.
I mean, I know he's flat.
Right, and people take him on vacations and take pictures of Flat Stanley in Europe. Stanley
here. I don't know about Flat Stanley. Yeah.
At the risk of a Bronner's moment, what is Flat Stanley?
Flat Stanley, it's like this paper or cardboard.
I can look it up.
Person that is flat, and people would take it to different places.
Why? Like, I understand, like, the elf thing, to be good for Santa. I don't understand.
I've never done it. I just know about it through kids and things like that.
Okay, we're getting some different answers on the text. Hallmark holiday movies, hate them on the ticket text. They're really cheesy.
They are.
But people love them because of the cheese.
I've started to embrace them a little bit more than ever before, but I'm there with them. Like, I don't like them.
Forced holiday parties at your office and your boss being personally offended if you don't show up. Anthony in Ann Arbor on the ticket text.
You could do a whole topic on holiday parties. Wow.
This one says, Stoney. It's signed Stoney. It says, I always have Cindy wrap all the gifts right after she shovels the driveway. Signed yeah. Stoney.
Well, it's funny because we were talking about the Christmas lights, and I was going to say Gov could vouch for this. If we did do Christmas lights, she'd be up there on the ladder doing it herself because she loves doing that kind of stuff. But
you were asking, what does it cost?
Yes.
We had one ticket texter say, hey, all, for a typical colonial, it's over $1,000.
I thought so. I was going to say at least a grand, but maybe more.
I had $500 in my head, which felt too low because everything costs so much now.
Well, it's the lights you're paying for or renting.
You provide the lights. Right?
You don't provide the lights.
Why not?
Yeah.
Like, if someone has lights, but they don't want to hang them up.
You provide the lights?
Yeah, that's what I always thought. You just hire somebody to put them up.
I thought the company provided the lights.
I'm sure they would offer both.
I'm sure they do both, but a lot of times it's not.
But I could see someone who bought lights, got up on a ladder 1 year, so this is a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Will you come and string them up really nicely for me?
Right.
And that's... kind of what I thought you were asking.
Yes, oh, exactly. Well, that's exactly what I was asking.
Well, I was thinking that, but I didn't know you had to provide them.
I would assume.
Oh,
I don't know.
But
you
okay.
know. You know what happens when you assume, but yes.
Hmm.
Thing I hate about the holidays, Christmas music.
Oh.
Like all of it? John in Marine City? All of it? You don't have any song that
some of
takes
it,
you back to growing up?
Right.
Yes.
I love Christmas music.
I hate when people cook turkey for Christmas instead of ham.
Yeah, you know. That's
kind of
they're both good. They're both tasty.
Okay. Prefer ham, but yes. If you had turkey at your Thanksgiving and
well, you
Christmas,
know, you know the cliche what Jews do on Christmas.
What?
We go out for
Chinese food. Yeah. 248-539-9797. Heather, is your dog's name Max? Is your heart two sizes too small?
It grew three sizes this year. No. Not the Grinch.
Heather doesn't like inflatables, Elf on a Shelf, and for God's sakes, Charlie Brown, Bah Humbug, Ebenezer Park.
Where do you stand on Santa Claus, Heather?
I love the big
okay.
man.
All right, good.
All right. Let's get to Jim in Chesterfield. Jim, good morning.
Hi, guys. This is Jim from Chesterfield. I got a great point about Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah. Okay.
The Elf on the Shelf is supposed to be there to make sure your kids aren't messing around or behaving themselves. It's kind of like a spying thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great idea to bring out, like, when your kids are acting up in the middle of summertime, like July or June, put that baby in their bedroom and it freaks them right out.
Ooh. Creative there, Jim, from Chesterfield.
Yeah, instant behavior right there.
So that's why parents do it.
Yeah, have a good one, bud.
Appreciate it.
You could probably, nowadays, you probably put a hidden camera in the Elf on the Shelf.
We have cameras in the kids' room anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One thing I did want to just address with Heather and her disdain for Elf on the Shelf, and Stoney says, well, just do it. It just takes a minute. Everything we do in life, when we add something to our life, it's a complication. When we subtract something from our life, it's a simplification. This is simply a complication that Heather is not willing to add to her life. And that's a good thing that you are setting that boundary.
Thank you. I agree. I also don't think I'm going to have time for homework, so kids, don't bring it home. Like, literally, like, Emily had to do something for her birthday at school. We had mm-hmm. to make something and print photos, and I'm thinking, how do parents do this? What did I get myself into? I don't have time.
But to Greg's point, and to Stoney's, it takes me a minute to do Elf on the Shelf. I don't have any time for social media. So the amount of time consumption in social media in my life isn't there.
Right.
Because I don't have time for it. Okay. I rarely use it. I use it for work strictly. It amazes me the amount of time people waste with their social media accounts.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I got a minute for Elf on the Shelf for my kids to have imagination.
To me,
those are the choices I make in life.
I understand. To me, it's not even about the time. I mean, I'm not doing it. I don't have kids. It's the concept is creepy to me that like this little elf is going to spy on your kids everywhere they go. And now,
are you like anti gnome in your front yard?
We don't have any gnomes in our front yard, Stoney.
No, get the gnomes out of your yard.
I think I still have.
Garden
Hire gnome. I think is still there.
Jason in Oak Park. Jason, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to give you a real quick tutorial on Christmas lights. We do them professionally.
Oh,
the initial. Are you there?
Yeah.
We're intrigued.
Sorry, the initial cost for it is quite expensive because. Most companies, when they do lights, you buy the lights brand new out of the box. They don't install customer lights because if there's a problem with them, then we got to come back and fix them. So all of our lights are brand new out of the box. We set them up that year. We'll maintain them if you got lights go out throughout, you know, Christmas. Come back in January, take them all down, and we store them in our facility for two reasons. A, we know that they're going to be protected. And B, we have the lights here to bring to the customer to set up for the next year. So it's kind of like a guaranteed next year commitment.
Okay, so
it can go anywhere from $1,000 to a couple years back, we did a former tight end for the Lions house at about $7,000, and his mom bought out some inflatables when we were done. I mean, here you got this professional light set up, like all the trees are wrapped, the roof line's crisp, everything looks great, and then his mom brings out these inflatables.
Well, Heather's
after
nodding.
Set up and everything and set these things out, he has come out that night and take them all down, and he told his mom that somebody stole them.
Wow. So anyway, I'm just trying to figure out which Lion, former Lion tight end it was.
Eric Ebron?
Well, I can tell you that he would catch a ball, but it went right through his hands.
Eric Ebron.
Hey, maybe, yeah. Great family. But yeah.
Okay.
Jason, thank you.
I brought out the inflatables, and Eric wasn't having it. Or the Lions.
Whoever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Thanks, Jason.
It's better than if he brought out Walter Rasby.
Yeah, how far back are we going to go here?
Obscure tight ends for 800, Alex.
I was guessing Tony Scheffler, personally.
Interesting.
This is from around. He is from
local.
Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got it on the first
Michael
try.
Michael Ricks.
Joseph Fourier. Remember he had a moment?
Yes.
He was festive. He danced in the end zone.
Oh, yeah. He got hurt. Then he got hurt. He said it was walking his dog up the steps or something, and then we found out it was like beach volleyball or something. It was like the other way. I don't know. Joe Fourier. Yeah, he was on like Fallon would show highlights of him, if I remember correctly, because he danced. All right, that's enough.
How great would the payoff have been if he said it was a former Lions tight end, now head coach, Dan Campbell. Dun, dun, dun. No, Eric Ebron, we got it on the first guess. Okay, we're going to talk a little Red Wing hockey this hour. We've got the Thursday touchdown with some big storylines. College football playoff begins this weekend. It's 97.1. Boy, did he need that. Boy, did they need that.
Oh, yeah. Nice to see them win back-to-back. That's 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4. They got 5 of the next 6 at home. And for Patrick Kane, a brutal season, needed to see one go through the net
mm-hmm.
and go into the net. And he also set up Alex DeBrincat earlier in the game on an odd man rush. Which,
happy birthday, Cat.
Hey, forgot that was allowed. Odd man rushes. Mm-hmm. Offense, 10 goals over those 2 games. Stoney, start of something?
Well, their defense is not very good, as we know. And now it's going to even be worse because Evanson's out. We don't know for how long, but Lalonde said they'll get in. He didn't have an update after the game, but body language did not suggest it was going to be good news.
They played with 5 defensemen the rest of the game, most of the game.
Correct.
And they gave up a 2-goal lead.
Yeah. So basically what they're going to have to do as they copy the Lions with having a significant injury is do what the Lions need to do is just outscore everybody. And do they have enough offense to do it, the Red Wings? When they're on the power play, they do. It was nice to see Compher get his first goal in like 8 years. No, you know, about
2 months,
month,
but yeah. Who's counting?
Exactly. But yeah, they need other people to step up besides the usual suspects. But
yep. I hate that I said that because now it's a stupid drop. But you're right. There is some similarities here. Outscore your problems.
Mm-hmm.
And a year ago, they did that. Right, last year's team did not play well defensively.
No.
They outscored their problems. They occasionally got some hot goalie play from Alex Lyon.
Right, and their 5-on-5 was bad last year. It's certainly not good this year.
It's worse this year.
I know.
Now, you got to just, you go, 10 goals last 2 games, certainly not enough to have solved all the problems.
No.
But I like seeing Kane, snake bitten, finally score. Confer, finally score. Valeno, score, secondary scoring. Because it can't just be Raymond and Larkin.
No.
You're not going to win enough games doing that.
And Larkin
that.
Hasn't had a goal in, what, 10 games, I think?
He's in a bit of a drought now, too.
Right.
They just haven't scored. Like, 5-on-5, they're one of the worst teams in hockey.
I know.
They don't get enough shots, enough chances, enough possession. And yesterday, it turned into one of those games, and they answered, and they rallied every single time. They got down 1-0 immediately, right? As soon as they took a 2-1 lead, they immediately gave it back, but then they scored 2 in a row. It was the kind of hockey that doesn't win playoff games, but it's going to be the kind of hockey that keeps them in a playoff picture. And that's what this next 6 games before the new year is all about. You get 5 of them at home. So if you're ever going to build some momentum, it's got to be right now. If you're going to sit here and do this like win 2, lose 2, you're going to squander the chance in front of you right now.
And they got to beat the teams that they should beat. That's why losing to Philly in Philly last week was bad.
It was terrible.
They're pretty much the same. I actually think the Wings are a little better. It was nice getting that last night, but you know, in this 3 out of 4, so they've beaten Philly, Buffalo. Now, Toronto was good. That Toronto was a really good, maybe even an unexpected win, probably mm-hmm. even though it was at home. They got to keep it up. They got Montreal back-to-back, and you mentioned they have other home games
the
coming
Blues
up. The Blues.
They play Toronto again.
Yes.
Pittsburgh on New Year's Eve, and Pittsburgh's not very good.
No, but they beat the Red Wings on the season opener. Like, that's when we kind of feel, oh boy, this doesn't look good.
Yeah, listen, it's not been a good year.
No.
Little bit of a spark. Also, a spark in the stands. Let's put out the bat signal. Does anybody know who this guy was?
Yes.
If it's you, even better. But if you know this guy or you were sitting in that section, can you explain what happened last night at the Red Wing game?
I've seen a little of the video of the ushers escorting a shirtless human being out of Little Caesars Arena. I mean, look, they show guys like that on the Jumbotron all the time. What would make you decide to take off your shirt at a hockey game? I have no idea.
I think it's an easy answer.
They were drunk.
Yeah. Alcohol.
I know. Then again, I'm one of those who can't understand how people take shirts off at Lambeau or Buffalo or in the outside either, but that's probably alcohol induced as well.
So I don't, again, I was at the game. I didn't see exactly what happened. So you know where my seats are. Yes. This was same side, but opposite blue line.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of like watching the play, and out of the corner of my eye, I see someone get pushed into the glass, and it does like a bounce. Like kind of when someone gets hit into the boards right on the ice, only from the other side. And I go, whoa, everybody stands. There's a game going on, but everybody immediately starts looking to see something going on. Is there a fight over there? Are two fans getting at it? Are they jawing, and now it's turning physical? And then once everybody's standing, you can hardly tell what's going on over there.
Lalonde said after the game, it was weird because the four officials and the players were all looking at something off the ice.
Yeah, when the play ended, I was watching the players watch to see, like, what is going on in the stands right now?
Well, actually, he was probably pissed. This is what happened, is he didn't catch a T-shirt that was shot into the crowd like you did.
I've never caught a foul ball. I've never caught a T-shirt, but there it was, like, from the heavens right to me.
Yeah, sky opened up, and there it was.
If John had gone to the game, he would have caught the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he would have pushed you out of the way and made sure he caught it first.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Tom is simulating what John would be doing right now. Was that a Godzilla impression? Is that what that was?
He is, until he lost the weight. Now he's skinny-zilla.
You think I could box him out? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you could. He's frail.
Frail.
Honestly, man, it's ridiculous how much weight he's lost. Like, he doesn't, honestly, he doesn't seem as big as he used to.
No,
I'm not saying in terms of...
You mean
of
tall, too.
Tall. Right? It seems like...
You think but he's
he
shrinking.
Is. He really is, though.
But he looks healthier. Like, have you seen Jake Long, what he looks like now? Jake Long almost looks... And I saw him at the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame thing. He almost looks sickly, but he's lost so much weight.
Well, John, I jokingly said that about John because I saw him on Michigan Replay or whatever they call it now. And I'm like... I didn't realize he lost that much weight. And when you look skinny on TV, you are skinny.
Yeah.
TV makes you fat.
Yes, I know.
So they say, adds 10 pounds.
248-539-9797. We'll get into the Thursday touchdown after Heather's news. Heather, what's going on?
Oh, well, let me tell you what's going on. Let's see. Detroit police are searching for three suspects who robbed an Amazon delivery driver Tuesday evening on the city's east side. Investigators say an Amazon driver was obviously delivering packages when a vehicle pulled in front of her. Three suspects dressed in all black announced a robbery, then stole several packages from the truck, jumped back in their dark-colored SUV, and took off. So the driver did call 911, but police were not able to find the suspects.
By the way, Amazon may be having a little problem with your packages because of their Teamsters and Amazon drivers. They're going to supposedly go on strike soon.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yes, I heard that today.
Yeah, I heard it driving in.
Certain markets, yeah, yes. We heard the same thing.
Oh, right before the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
Might not be able to get those last-minute packages. Mm-hmm. police are also searching for a group of suspects who slammed a U-Haul truck into a Detroit dispensary in a smash and grab attempt. It sounds like they didn't get away with anything, but the owner of the Jazz Cannabis Club on Telegraph near McNichols said they got a call from their alarm company. Alarm was going off. There was a U-Haul, an SUV at the business, said, hey, send police over. I don't know who these people are. Well, before police got there, they took the U-Haul and just drove right into the building, leaving behind a giant hole in the wall. But like I said, didn't get away with anything. But the owner believes it's the same group of suspects who targeted him earlier, used a sledgehammer to try to get into the building. No proof that it is the same, but he believes that it is. So the suspects are still out there as well.
What is their obsession with this guy?
Maybe he's got good weed. I don't know. I mean, he must. Like, it's got to be his product, right?
Like, this kind of feels like a Tom and Jerry thing. Like, It's like just...
I'll just, yeah, smash the wall and then get away and then you fix it. I'll do it again.
These two are going to forever be intertwined. This is Roadrunner and Coyote. Yeah. Like, we're going to get this one of these days.
One of these days. David Montgomery hasn't been placed on injured reserve just yet because he plans to get a third doctor's opinion. So on Wednesday, Dan Campbell explained that the Lions are in this waiting mode regarding the injury because he's going to go get another opinion and they're going to make their final decision based on another doctor's opinion, but also just on how Montgomery is feeling, right? Like, does he feel good? Can he play? They're going to take his word as well and go from there. So we're still waiting to hear exactly his status.
So he's already had two opinions.
He has.
He wants a third. He's waiting for a doctor to give him the green light.
Uh-huh. Right? Right? You try to find one more that's like, you know what? No, this is going to be okay. We'll do this and this and this. I'll give you a shot of this. You're good.
And if not, you go to a fourth doctor, a fifth doctor. Yeah. You find someone with an honorary doctorate degree. You do whatever you have to do.
Yes.
Find someone to clear you. He really wants to play.
Yeah, I get it. A wild brawl broke out at Chicago O'Hare. All caught on video. You got to see it. There was four men. They got in a fight and they basically all went WWE. They were using those wet floor signs. Like they're throwing them like folding chairs, hitting each other with these. Dreadlocks were pulled so hard that they were ripped out of somebody's hair. Ugh, it was pretty nasty. Apparently, they were all employees of some concession stand at the airport. So they weren't passengers or American Airlines employees because that's where it took place, right by an American Airlines gate. Check it out. It sounds like no police reports were ever filed and nobody was arrested. And I don't know the status on anyone. If they lived to tell the tale, but they were fighting about something. Who knows what it
what
was?
They lived to tell that they didn't die.
No one died, but they could have.
I suppose they could have.
They sure could have. So everybody has at least a couple Christmas songs that they just can't stand, right? And USA Today did some due diligence and they ranked the 10 worst Christmas songs ever, according to them. Number one, the Chipmunk song.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it's annoying.
Yes.
Right?
It's funny the first time you hear it.
Exactly. Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Well, how do you not like that?
I kind of like that.
Well, maybe it depends on who sings it. This one's by Elmo and Patsy.
Oh,
okay. So do you know what I mean? Like there's certain songs sung by certain artists that are just not great. The Christmas Shoes by New Song. Don't know that. Little Drummer Boy by Jessica and Ashley Simpson. Bad. Funky Funky Xmas by New Kids on the Block. Dominic the Donkey.
The Italian Christmas Donkey.
Oh, real? I was going to say, I've never heard of this.
I assume that's what that's referencing, yeah.
Tell me more.
It's in the system. We can bump back with it one of these.
What's the Italian donkey?
The Italian Christmas donkey. Dominic the
What's
donkey.
What's he do?
Eeyaw, that's what he does.
Eeyaw.
Okay.
It says moo.
Moo. Santa Baby, Don't Shoot Me Santa, Cherry Cherry Christmas, and I Never Knew the Meaning of Christmas by NSYNC. Those are the worst. Top 10 songs.
You like the NSYNC Christmas stuff.
You know what? I like the boy band Christmas music.
But you know that's a bad opinion. Like people don't agree with that.
Oh, for sure. Well, somebody, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays by NSYNC.
Okay.
It's up there for me.
Greg, if we could find Dominic the Donkey before the show's over, that would be great.
I never heard of Dominic the
me
Donkey.
Me neither. That's
it's
why I said, tell me
station.
More. I've never heard of it.
Okay. We'll get the Thursday touchdown next. And then some point today, we will all be introduced to Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey. It's 97.1.
Okay, I have heard this before.
I've never heard it.
What's the verdict?
I did research. It's awful. The song's awful.
It's humorous. That's about it. Humorous.
It's got some levity to it.
Yeah.
It's a change up. She rolled her eyes in a way I have not seen.
This is not a good song.
You think it belonged on the list of terrible Christmas songs?
Yes, I agree with it.
Chickity chick. Eeyaw, eeyaw. There we go.
There we go. I like
it. Italian Christmas donkey.
I'm here and Costa starts singing.
We've been doing a little more singing around
good.
The holiday.
Good.
Even John a little bit.
Yeah.
I bet you John has a really good voice.
Silver bells? Underrated when he really gets into the low.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely get that.
We've got Stoney in today, tomorrow, the next 2 weeks. As John and I get some time off. Stoney, what's up?
By the way, two quick things. I just heard the promo for you and Rico are going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Washington, Michigan. Why do they say Michigan? Is there
some confusion?
Did they think you're going to be in Washington, D.C. for the game?
Or is there
a state of Washington, Ohio? I don't know.
Yes.
There is a Washington, Ohio?
You know, you technically have to say Michigan with it because it's a state. It's a Washington is known standalone as other places. Other places before Washington, Michigan, probably some others too. But
right.
That's why you have to.
There's no harm in communicating that. But would people really think that Rico and I are being flown
if they
out
showed
to
up
a
there,
different
do you want the
state?
Ticket to get sued?
No, I don't.
And you got Tacoma?
We're in Tacoma for
worst Costa and Rico. I drove 3,000 miles. You're gonna pay. I'm suing you guys for gas. See what happens. They have to protect themselves.
Yes, maybe people could just be smart.
By the way,
I know that's like a really hard ask these
just
days.
I'll
go snoot alert here too. You'd have to do it AP style journalism.
Ooh, there you go.
You would. You'd have to put Michigan.
It's funny. There is a suburb
because Washington standalone is known as a state.
There is a suburb in of Washington D.C. called Tacoma Park, actually. Anyway, before we get to the Lions, I just want to say thank the Lord that we have the ownership of the Detroit Lions that we have. Now, 15, 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't have said that. But I say that now, especially when there's a huge, shall we say, breakdown. Three people wrote this article in The Athletic, including Diana Rossini, Michael Silver, and Zach Rosenblatt, about Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets. I'm just going to give you two things here. Mm-hmm. He did not trade for Jerry Jeudy because he didn't like his Madden rating. That's Woody Johnson.
I'm sorry, that's a real report.
That's a real report. Joe Douglas expressed interest in getting Jerry Jeudy. He's the general manager. Negotiations in a trade would have sent Jeudy to the Jets, but the Broncos felt a deal was near, then abruptly it all fell apart because Woody Johnson felt Jeudy's player rating in Madden NFL wasn't high enough. This is the owner of the New York Jets.
Yeah.
He also, when they traded Zach Wilson to Denver, Denver wanted the 257th pick in the draft, which was Mr. Irrelevant. The Jets had that pick and 256. The owner wanted to keep Mr. Irrelevant, so he traded a pick better, one pick better, and the guy who was picked at 256 is somebody who starts for the Broncos now, and Mr. Irrelevant, who's on the Jets, some guy from Alabama, never made the team. This is your owner. And there's other stuff in there I'm not going to get into about having his kids get in the locker room and things like that. It's just, thankfully, we do not have that here.
We are on to much better days.
Yes, we are.
But even in the face of better days, we have some adversity. And yes. Stoney, you have an observation. You've been in this week, and I've experienced some of this too. But what is it that you've noticed? Lions fans, fan policing other Lions fans? This idea that if you don't believe this team will win the Super Bowl, that you're some kind of bad fan. I was called a part-time fan this week. I know when you were in with Doug, you got some of this too because you dared express concern that the harsh reality is this team is no longer the Super Bowl favorite.
Right.
That this team will not win the Super Bowl. Like can, but won't. Can versus will is a debate we had earlier this week.
Yes.
People bristle at the idea that you wouldn't just blindly grit, don't quit. They can overcome anything. We are right to express concerns, and anybody who does is not a, quote, bad fan.
No, you can't just sit there and say, okay, we got 22 injuries. You know, guys on the, you know, our two deep is shredded. But, hey, because of our makeup and all that, we're going to still win the Super Bowl. They could. But I think their chances are not very good because of just the attrition. The NFL is all about attrition, and the Lions are way down on the list of attrition right now, and it sucks. It's a shame. It's why I believe the franchise is cursed, but that's a whole different argument.
Don't open that can.
248-539-9797. If you do not believe that the Lions are Super Bowl bound, does that make you a bad fan, or do you think people who feel that way, there's something wrong with them? Are you one of those people out there? Those people who just, you know what? We're 12-2. We're going to just do, no matter, the whole team can get hurt. Well, I don't care. We're still going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, my thing is, fan however you want to fan.
Yes.
Whatever's genuine to how you feel is how you should approach this.
Right.
And if you're a Lions fan who looks at this and says, I'm going to root like hell for them, but ... I think you're still just as big a fan as anybody else. And if we were going to do like tiers of fan, and I hate doing this, I would argue the person who unequivocally, under all circumstances, every season believes you're winning the Super Bowl, you're delusional. You're not in reality. Right. I don't think you're as big a fan as someone who is paying attention to all of what's going on and how big. Like David Montgomery, I hope he comes back. Short yardage is a huge part of this football team. Gibbs is the better back, but fourth and one, third and two, goal line. No, David Montgomery's a big deal for a team that has to win shootouts now and convert all these fourth downs. And then defensively, Carlton Davis, hell of an addition, Super Bowl pedigree.
Yes.
He helps them play the man coverage that Aaron Glenn has been dying to run in Detroit. Aleem McNeil helps stabilize the defense without Aiden. Now, can you get Aiden back? Hope and a prayer for the Super Bowl, maybe, but you got to get there.
Right.
My point is, and the point that you've made is, guys, you should be concerned.
Yes, when you lose your best pass rusher, your best interior lineman, your best linebacker, might be back for the playoffs, and your best defensive back, and some of those backups, like Rodriguez for Anzalone and others, are also out. I mean, it's common sense that your chances to get to the Super Bowl are not going to be as great as it was, 2 weeks ago.
No, don't say that. I heard Dan Campbell on the radio this week. Don't say that. Don't say they can't. Don't say they won't. They will.
And I'm as glad he said what he said with you guys, because that's the way a good coach is supposed to. The players don't feel that. The players don't sitting there, oh my God, when they came home from the game Sunday night, oh honey, man, let me tell you, we got all these injuries, we're done. No. Real competitors don't do that.
And I think there's a difference in fans and competitors.
Yes, there's a huge difference.
I said it after we had him on. I'm nodding my head, right? This is great. This is awesome. He will get them as far as they can possibly go.
Yes.
Whatever the furthest this team can go with the roster, he will take them there.
Right. And it doesn't make a difference how we feel about their chances, whether or not they're going to get there or not.
248-539-9797. Let's get to Mitch in Grosse Pointe. Mitch, good morning.
Morning. Listen, I think both sides of your argument are like making my head spin a little bit this morning, because I'm 33 years old. I've been watching the Lions every Sunday for as long as I can remember. And like, even 2011, you could argue, was a good season, but this is different. We've had two great back-to-back years, and whether you're a good fan for thinking we might not make it or a bad fan for thinking we might not make it, like, let's just enjoy this, right? Like, when did we stop just enjoying this? This is, how could it, regardless of the outcome of this season, the injuries have plagued us and it's unfortunate, but this is still a season to be proud of.
Yes.
It is, but at the same time, Mitch, you understand, like, expectations carry weight, right? And that's some of what this is like when the coach says, I want the whole enchilada, and the general manager acknowledges we're in this to win the Super Bowl, and when the fans are talking Super Bowl or bust, and the radio hosts are saying Super Bowl or bust, and we're Super Bowl bound, and we're untouchable, and we're the best, it kind of makes like, oh, yeah, sure, they could win 14, 15 games. They could win a couple playoff games, and it would still be hollow if the season doesn't end with a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I suppose, but still, I just, like, I want a Super Bowl as much as the next guy, right? But, like, I still am just going to be happy that we're winning games, because this is the happiest I've been about the Lions for the first time in my 33 years of life.
Mitch, I get it. I'm 31. So, I get it. You and I have experienced the same amount of losing and misery, and that's why it almost is insulting for someone to be like, you're not a real fan.
Oh, come on,
if you don't
please.
Blindly... If you watched 0-16, if you've watched all the dumb ways this team has lost football games, the misery, the sheer just absurdity of it all, you're not a bad fan.
No.
And also, I would note, I'm not seeing a lot of people doing the SOL thing. This is not the same thing.
Good.
The SOL is when you get in your own way. The Lions, this is largely not their fault.
Right. That's why they're cursed. Because it's not their fault.
Don't do this, Stoney. 248-539-9797. We'll get your phone calls in the mix. It's 97.1.